Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and in today's episode, we're diving into a crucial aspect often overlooked in ministry, and that's friendship. Joining me are two of my friends, Mike Neglia and Clay Worrell. Mike and Clay bring unique perspectives on the transformative power of authentic connections in church leadership and church planting. We believe friendships aren't just important, they're foundational to thriving ministry. Let's dig in. Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm here with two handsome gentlemen from the country of Ireland.
Not exactly.
That's not, no, like we're not that handsome.
Oh. We've got Mike Neglia, who is and has been living in Ireland for the past
20 years.
Wow. Are you serious? 20
yep.
years?
Yep.
Holy moly.
As of June marked 20 years.
20 years.
It's crazy.
And we've got Clay Worrell, the executive director of the Calvary Global Network, and our good friend, pretty generally all around good guy,
I would say. That's nice.
Last time you got mad, you were on the podcast, and then you got mad because I didn't say you were my friend.
Yeah, you didn't. And you say that about literally every guest.
I do, actually.
That you have way less of a friendship with than me.
I say they're my good friend about them.
And you didn't even call me your friend.
I said just guest.
Hmm. Yeah.
I am so constrictive and restrictive about who I call a friend.
It's true. He's very particular.
Brian, you're my friend.
Oh, that's a big deal, man. Yeah.
It's a big podcast deal.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
No, I think, can I rant?
I think that
Facebook and whatever has really delegitimized the term friend. I think is like a theological term. Hmm. Friend is something like special and valuable. Like there's people that are like acquaintance, like I call a friendly acquaintance. I think there's people that I'm friendly with, but like a friend is something like special and rare.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe that should be what we talk about in this podcast.
Okay.
Friendship.
Today's episode is about friendship.
Church planting and friendship.
Church planting and friendship. Yes, okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So what we need to get first from you, Mike, and this is for those of you who are listening at the moment, we are meeting together for a CGN vision meeting, and these guys are so hard to get time with because they're busy. They're important people. They live in other countries. Well, Clay doesn't. He lives here.
I live
boring
here.
But Mike does. But we got together, and this is kind of unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah. So the first question I'm going to ask Mike, and I say that so that people will not, their expectations might come down. You haven't had weeks to prepare for this podcast.
Yeah.
I need the definition, biblical definition of friend.
Wow. Okay. See, okay. I think what it speaks about Abraham being friends with God, but it doesn't define it. Jesus said that he called the disciples friends. Mm. But he doesn't define it.
Oh.
So,
but you can kind of see the relationship, I guess, between Jesus and his disciples is
as
sort of a definition by relationship.
Okay. Yes and no. Like I think friendship with Jesus, he says like, you're my friends, and I'm paraphrasing, but you're my friends if you do everything I ask you to do. And that is maybe part of what it means to be friends with God, but not necessarily
friends with one another.
Friends with one another is, I think friendship opens up a relationship where you can actually ask somebody to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they don't do what you ask them to do, that's not the end of the friendship.
Like yesterday, Mike, you asked me to pick you up from LAX.
Yeah.
And I said, no.
Yeah.
But I will pick you up. Well, listen, I said, but I will pick you up in LA.
Yeah.
Right off the 5. So we compromised.
Yeah.
You got an Uber to near Interstate 5 and I picked you up.
Yeah, you did.
Bro. This is a personal rant of mine about LAX and Uber.
You got to take a bus. Listen,
to get an Uber.
But listen.
Not if you do Uber Black.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I did. Because my phone.
Ireland's been treating you good.
No,
just kidding.
Let's talk about some mission support for Mike
Neglia. No, because
to support Mike.
In order to because you have to take a taxi. Sorry, take a bus to the taxi rank to do that. And I've done that before, and there's no Wi-Fi, and so I can't use the app to do so.
So I've actually done that before
to save money, and then I couldn't, and then I had to actually just get a regular old taxi, which is just...
It ends up being way more.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So the convenience of getting an Uber Black right outside the gate, I
feel like if you had a good friend, if you have a friend, he's going to pick you up on the 5. If you have a good friend, he's coming right into the where the Uber Black...
Well, listen.
Are you not as good a friend as Uber Black?
I am a very good friend, but I'm also a good father.
Yeah.
And I had my children in the car.
Ah, okay.
When priorities. We were driving home from Bakersfield, visiting some friends up there, and just going through the circle in LAX is a hour. It's an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I do not personally like LAX airport.
It's the worst.
But the friendship, so I think.
Yeah, get back. You know what else I know about Mike? This is because I'm his friend.
Yeah.
Is he doesn't like
podcast banter.
He doesn't like podcast banter. He wants to turn it on.
Yeah.
And get to the content. Right. What do I want to? I want to hear what I want
to
know.
When I listen to podcasts, you know how I usually push play,
yeah.
And then I usually hit the skip button like four or five times
yeah.
to get to the content.
Wow. You know what's funny? I do that too. I do that with YouTube videos too. If I'm trying to figure something out, like I'm building
like a video game hack.
Sometimes, yeah.
So friendship is never really defined in the Bible, but most things aren't. It's kind of like shown rather than told. I think that there's the divine friendship, Abraham and God, Jesus and the disciples. But I think like some significant friendships would be like David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi.
That's a good one.
These kind of like side-by-side, peer-to-peer friendships. And I think, with each of those, they're like committing to one another.
Yeah.
And there is like... Again, it's not a light thing. Mm. Jonathan committed himself to David. Mm-hmm. Ruth committed herself to Naomi, and because of that, then they kind of like partnered in things, and they were able to like get stuff done.
Yeah,
and
it was a deeper relationship than just for example, a work relationship or you know something like that. It's not at that family level. Although if we're in Christ, we have a family relationship as well. What about you, Clay?
Yeah,
friend.
I think it's interesting. Excuse me. Thinking about reflecting on friendship in this day and age, you know, we have a culture, and we're in a season in history where things have been so hyper-sexualized to where I think it's actually been at the detriment of true, intimate, and genuine friendship. You know, and you see it in things like. I mean, even David and Jonathan, there's been accusations about them being actually gay.
Because
it's like, oh, that relationship is way too intimate to be a strict friendship.
Yeah.
But that's not true. A friendship should be deeper and intimate than a normal 100%. Relationship that you would have with someone.
Yeah, and so I think that, it's something that's super significant. God created us for friendship. You know, there's obviously different categories of relationships, but I think that friendship is
I want to ask about friendship in the context of church planting, but before I do, I'm curious. And again, we haven't thought about these questions, and you guys feel free to ask me too, because I'm throwing you some pretty tough ones here. How many friends, real friends, biblical friends, would you say that you have?
I think I'm a very wealthy man because I think I have about half a dozen real friends.
Wow. And I would think there would be more, but you're talking about a deep level.
Yeah, I think when
it comes to that level of friends.
Yeah, I think like deep.
I don't think I'm on that list. I think I'm not in that group. I don't feel bad about it. I just think that you're describing a group that.
Yeah,
you hoping I was. No, I'm just kidding.
You could be, but we need 10 years.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Is that comes from time.
Yeah.
And
like okay, in the Irish language, there's a phrase "anam cara," which means like a soul friend, and that is kind of this deep. And actually, in ancient Ireland, like a anam cara would be kind of almost like a. Like a confessor, it would be somebody that you would like, we use words now like accountability partner, but this would be similar to an accountability partner, but you would kind of like would confess your sins, challenges, and struggles.
Someone you can trust completely with every area of life.
Yeah, and St. Patrick's writings, he talked about a very, very deep betrayal that he had. Because he had a person that he confessed his sins to.
Yeah.
And then later on, In his writings, he never talks about what the sin was, and everyone speculates on this and that. But like his reputation was really challenged because like his former Anam Kara shared his struggles or sins with other people. And so, yeah, when I consider like what is a deep soul friend, it's somebody who, and don't take this out of context, but like somebody who could get me fired, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody who,
yeah, yeah, I get
who
it.
And again, not that I've done things that deserve to be fired.
Tell us what they are. We're all friends here.
Should I tell you what they are?
You tell us.
but that ongoing, yeah. So I think having six or seven is a rare thing.
Yeah.
Wow. And to be, you know, like I'm a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
I'm in a category of guys that usually are very, very lonely.
Yeah.
And I count myself, like I said, incredibly wealthy and rich and blessed.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and,
Clay?
And so I'm in about the same boat, largely because that group is, we share.
Overlapping. Right?
How long have you known each other?
15 years. Nah, almost 15 years.
Are you in each other's six?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. That would be awkward if you weren't.
So, but what's interesting, and without going into too much detail about this, but we kind of stumbled into this really deep, intimate group of friends that we have through like old messaging app and a group
AOL online.
No, I forget even what it was, but a group was established, and then it kind of went through a few, you know, seasons, and some people were weeded out and stuff, but then it created this really, really intimate group that's been together now for over 10 years, well over 10 years. I'm probably in a similar boat where I've got six or seven really, really deep close friends. Not all of them are in that same group that we share. But it's a unique thing, and I do feel incredibly, like you said, Mike, wealthy to have that.
Yeah. What role, let's get to church planting for a minute here. When you talk about friendship and church planting, because one of the big complaints and one of the big reasons, as a matter of fact, people stop ministry in general, but especially early on when they're planting a church, is loneliness. Mm-hmm. They don't feel connected. They don't feel like anybody's with them. They don't have the support. They haven't developed that team. And, you know, I always talk about it, and we have episodes about this too, about, you know, creating teams and getting the right people on board and stuff. But I don't think we should minimize the importance of friendship in that kind of endeavor. So maybe a little bit of a personal stories from each of you, because Mike, you planted in Ireland.
Yeah.
Clay, you also planted in Ireland.
Yes.
And planted elsewhere as well. We've already heard your story in another episode, but maybe a little bit more from
link in the show notes.
Yeah. And but maybe talk about how important it was, or that if you didn't have this, for example, what you missed by not having that kind of friendship when you're planting in that context.
Yeah, a lot of potential answers. I guess maybe I'll fast forward to if I could, like, becoming friends with Clay.
Origin story. Okay.
Well, that's nice. I mean, so I was in Cork, and I was there for a long time, maybe five, six years before you arrived in the country. And there's so much, basically we were the same age. We're into the same stuff.
Yeah.
But it was essentially kind of like a resource sharing. Yeah. I think like you like mailed me a book. and then it was a matter, as you were like working towards planting Calvary Waterford, like myself and then people from Calvary Cork, we were kind of involved in that. Yeah. And then we'd taken over kind of the midweek study, going back and forth. So it's kind of like we had this shared like mission, you know. Yes.
What was the distance between the two places?
2 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So doable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think like on the one hand, like drawn together because of like a shared passion. I want to see healthy churches planted in Ireland. So do you.
Yeah.
We want unsaved Irish people and people who live in Ireland to get to know Jesus. And so we had that same mission.
Yes.
And so we're like, we're working on the same goal.
Yeah.
And then as we're working on the same goal, like there is like a growing affinity, camaraderie. And then it kind of comes into, I don't know, the first time that you kind of go beyond just a matter of like, hey, you know, give me some advice on appointing elders, or you know, like
right.
kind of
practical
like,
stuff.
Like, so it's those types of things, and those are really, really good to, you know. Or hey, how can I navigate this Irish culture, this or that, you know? Mm-hmm. But then when it comes down to like, I'm having a hard time, you know, like, you know, me and my wife are really going through a challenging week, you know,
like real stuff,
yeah,
real stuff,
you know. And you know, I helped Clay through that challenging week that he had.
It's the only one, only one we've ever had.
What else did you help him through?
Yeah, but I think when like we need these peer to peer relationships, yeah. And I think yeah. even so much of what Cultivate does is that type of stuff, establishing yeah. a board, bylaws, yeah. best yeah. practices, yeah. and that's really really good. And then there's that special thing when it kind of goes beyond that, and it's like, well, here's kind of a glimpse into like my heart,
yeah.
and you kind of trust
yeah.
somebody something small. And then they look after it, they you know, and then yeah. that's where I get
they gain the trust over yeah. time, and friendship yeah. is
so,
created.
So the question is like how like church planting and friendship, and there's a lot of potential things, but I'm going to say like that's kind of how a fellow church planter, a peer, became a lifelong friend.
Yes.
Wow. We cared about the same things, and then as we cared about the same things together, and then wanted to help each other in that, then it became a matter of like, oh, I see a friend in you.
Yeah, that's yeah. interesting because you think about in a like a you're in the trenches with someone, a battlefield scenario. You hear that you get lifelong brothers.
Yes,
they're called brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they're not Christian yep. context, they're my brother because yeah. we were together in this difficult time in this battle or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and I think it's a similar kind of bond, but more so because of the work of the Holy Spirit and the Lord is weaving together.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
those friendships. Clay?
Trauma bond.
Trauma bond.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because there's, I think we have to address a couple different things. One, for church planters or prospective church planters, something that we can instruct to do is don't isolate yourself. You know what I mean? Like have
right.
community
yeah.
and camaraderie and seek relationships that you can seek wisdom from.
You're saying
and
even if they don't have that friend, like
yeah,
we're talking
because,
about.
And the reason I say that is because you can't just go out and say, hey, go get a good friend.
Yeah.
You can't,
right,
you
yeah.
can't just go get a good yeah. friend. Like
Cultivate
saying,
program will provide you this and a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
A deep friendship, like what we're talking about, is something that can only happen. Like he said to you earlier, like that's not even a joke. It's something that can only happen over a significant amount of time, and it's a progressive thing, right? And so I think the instruction or the advice would be, so you know, find people that you can seek wisdom from, that uh-huh. you can begin to build relationship with, that you can connect with, and then start the work of yeah. seeking to build friendship. And that's something that has to happen progressively. Like Mike said, you start with vulnerability on some level or another, and the truth is like building true and deep friendship is one of the scariest things you can do because
you're vulnerable.
It's and vulnerability is very very difficult for me, and I think probably for most men at least, and maybe yeah. that's over stereotyping, but it's
I think
scary.
It's valid though.
Yeah,
I mean just at the you look at it,
and honestly, it's probably I think it's probably difficult for people in general, women as well, because. Mm. You're exposing yourself in a way to where you can be harmed by that person. That's probably my best definition of vulnerability is I'm showing you something that you can use against yeah. me and actually hurt me, you know?
Yeah. And has happened before. And a lot of people are gun shy when it comes to friendship because they've yeah. had that.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons that pastors specifically find themselves so isolated and lonely, because part of the job description when you're pastoring and church planting and leading a church is you are going to be betrayed. It's a guaranteed, you yeah. know what I mean?
It happened to the best of them.
It happens to all of us, you know, at some yeah. point and on some level and ultimately deeply. And so,
I just want to point out, you said it happened to the best of them. And then you say it happens to the best of us.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Help us psychoanalyze us, Mike.
I said it happens to all of us.
No, that means that
you consider yourself.
You're in the group of people.
I want a playback immediate.
Yeah.
Video yeah, the I think have you seen those commercials where they throw the red flag and they can look at
yeah,
what they
yeah,
actually
show
said.
Playback. I said it happens to all of us.
It happens to all of us.
I think so.
All of the best of us.
I said it happens to the best of them, and you said it happens to the best of us.
No, I said it happens to all of us.
Yeah.
I thought what you were saying is that I've never had that happen, so I wouldn't know, and then he has had it happen.
Oh,
maybe
no.
that's kind of...
No, it's
happened. But, you were pointing yeah. out that his pride, because you know him. He's your friend.
His confidence.
It's a thing.
We all yeah. heard it.
Well, like in regards, yeah, with on the idea of like pastors being lonely, church planters being lonely, especially mm-hmm. those that parachute into someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous game you're playing when you parachute in by yourself into yeah. a place. I mean, it happens. It's
yeah.
been done.
Yeah.
Didn't you do that?
Yes. And
okay.
and thank God for providing Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think if you're parachuting in somewhere, I think that the place to look for meaningful connection and friendship, like, and this might be controversial, but it shouldn't be amongst the first people who come to your church.
Right.
It should be amongst peers. And then if that is other people in your church network that are in like the next city over, or if you have a relationship, or you're building a relationship, not of adversarial or competition mm-hmm. with the other local churches, which you shouldn't do.
Territorial right. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah. Who are the other mature leaders in your area that you might develop like a friendship? But then going around, as you were kind of saying, going around looking for a friend is a very vulnerable place, especially if you're going to be like, you know, just kind of open about like, hey, I'm Mike, I'm looking for a friend.
Yeah.
You're not going to get one.
It's the quickest way to
that's
not
the quickest
get a
way,
friend.
Yeah, to come off as weird and not get a friend.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
it's a matter of like, yeah, I want, like, I share this passion with you.
Yeah.
You know, and then out of that,
and it's necessary, and everybody wants that. It's almost like I'm thinking of like the marriage relationship, because you know you're walking around looking. We're all married here, happily, all of us.
And, yes.
But we've got people in our churches single that want to be married, godly people. They're looking for that connection, and I think it's a very similar thing with that deep friendship that can help. Is there like a Tinder for friendship?
I think there was. I read an article recently. I can't think of it. I'll link in the description. But
I've never used Tinder though. But that's my
But I think that there was some
was
sort
before,
of a
after my day.
There was some sort of a like a Tinder for friends.
Interesting.
And it was like it was abysmal because exactly it. Yeah, Frinder. Yeah, Frinder. Because people looking for friends.
Yeah.
It's not a good match. But what does work is affinity groups. Join a soccer club. Join a stamp collecting club.
Yeah.
You'll find friends there. And as you have this shared passion, then friendship goes. But it's like it's, you know, nobody can stand the weight of just, you know, somebody.
Or join a club of other pastors and ministers in your city or your community, like you said. That's a great place to, I mean, I've developed, we haven't stayed long in the places that we've planted churches, but I have developed those friendships.
Yeah, certainly.
And I have some good, you know, I'd say burgeoning potential friendships, even right now with other pastors in my city. I kind of, you know, some degree parachuted in, and I've been there long enough that now there's younger Baptist pastors that I'm kind of the older guy. So there's two of them, two young Baptist guys, and I've started a book club together. We're going through a book. And again, I don't want to come off as like I'm discipling them. I'm not.
He gets choked up, ladies and gentlemen, when he starts talking about these friends.
Yeah, I don't want
they're my friends.
I don't want to. Yeah, again, I'm not like this old sage. You know, like the three of us.
But you
know.
Kind of are. I mean, I know that you're a humble guy. I mean, in all seriousness, but you do have that. You've been there. You've done the work.
Yeah.
You have the. I mean, especially with the Expositors Collective and all that stuff that we said we weren't going to talk about, but you do have that. You have that ability, and I think it's good. I think we should all.
But that's like I want to help them, but they're helping me. Yeah. And as it's like three
mutual.
Leaders, we're together once a month. We talk about a book chapter, and then it's something good.
Yeah, I think it's good to note, you know, what we've alluded to several times, that there are different types of friendships, different levels of friendships, and that is totally okay. You know, so you asked us how many friends we have, and we've got a certain group of like deepest brotherhood. Like first person you call when something tragic happens in
very
your life,
few.
Friends, that's a smaller group. But then I've got a much larger group, well, a somewhat larger group of people that are genuine friends.
Am I in that group?
You are in that
group. Okay, good.
Yeah,
that was a risky question. I didn't know the answer.
No,
so
yeah, and our friendship, in fact, Brian, you and I had a moment when we were in Florida together at that coffee shop where we were talking about our friendships and first impressions.
Yeah,
and you told
me, I remember that.
Yeah, you didn't like me at first. You thought I was suck up or something like that.
I told someone that story the other day.
Yeah, and
you
I
shouldn't
thought,
have asked.
Well, no,
I'm going to give some background to that. He said, he looked me into my eyes and said, "What did you think about me when you first saw me?" Say whatever you thought. I can take it.
I can take, and I could take it. And
I said I didn't like you.
I was glad to know. Yeah. My wife says to know Clay is to love him, because people either, anyway, that, it's not an uncommon first impression with me, but I'm a nice guy.
I really do love you now.
Yeah. So like our friendship is developing though, and I really appreciate that, and it's a genuine friendship, you know. And then there's a level of like acquaintance, and that's not a bad thing. People who I'm very friendly with, you know,
yeah,
who I'm happy to see them when we're together, yeah. But I'm not necessarily going to call to chat. Like there's some people who I'm on a long drive and bored who I'll just call, you know,
and I'm not a caller. I don't do that. No matter for close friends.
You made that clear to me at one point. You actually said, don't call me.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, that's,
sorry, this is off the subject, but when I text you, if someone texts you, do you call them back?
No.
Okay.
No, generally I don't. All right. You've texted me and I text you back.
Good. But you don't call back?
No.
Okay.
Not unless there's something significant to talk about. So last thing is there's all of those in like the realm of peer relationship. And then what Mike was talking about, I think there's also that mentorship type of friendship. Yeah. And I think that should be considered friendship, because if you're mentoring somebody, I've got a small handful of guys that I mentor that are, you know, 10 years or so younger than me. And in that relationship, I'm not just some like instructor telling them how to live their lives.
Yeah.
I share my life with them. So I consider those younger men,
Rabbi,
my friends. And there you go. And and vice versa. And then I also have people who are 10 plus years my
senior.
Yeah,
so important. I think this is a topic that, I mean, is just so valuable and important to have those relationships and friendships. I'm glad that you recommended that we talk about this.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm not entirely sure where this will go, but can a pastor or church planter be friends with people in his church?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because you said this might be controversial, but you need to get someone who's a friend that's not part of your initial church plant congregation.
Don't turn that back on us. You answer the question.
You're asking me? My personal opinion in my experience is yes, that I've had very close and personal friendships with people in the church. And I think I guess the real question is at what level of friendship do you have? Because there's a, like you have those six guys, or someone has those two guys. I would say probably average, one, two, three guys you can just bear all.
Yeah.
I think
the average probably is zero, to be honest.
Well, or probably point something.
Yeah, I don't think an average
it wouldn't be zero. Yeah, it would be probably point.
But
let's say 0.5.
Sorry, a lot of people have none.
A lot of people have none. Yeah,
that's true.
So I don't think that, maybe there is that person in your congregation though, but I get what you're saying as far as you need to have that outside person that you can really feel like you can say everything to. That's not going to go to Sister So-and-so or say this at the prayer meeting or I'm not going to that Bible study because I know this about whatever, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't know. What do you think? I think yes, definitely friendships, but I don't know how deep of friendships.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes as well. In my experience, there is another level of complexity on the relationship. But I think oftentimes the idea that, no, you can't be friends with people in your church comes from more of like an authoritarian mindset where it's like, well, I'm the pastor, therefore I have to retain this authority.
Yeah, I've got to keep up a facade perfect.
Like, I've got,
or else you won't listen to me. If you know that I have problems, you won't listen to me.
Yeah, and I disagree with that,
of course,
philosophically in regards to just ministry and posture and what it means to be a pastor. I don't think we need to keep up this image of being perfect and whatnot. I think the best pastoral ministry can happen from the context of two broken people following Jesus together. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that there's nothing to spiritual authority. It's very biblical as well.
Or a higher calling of accountability as far as personal life and that sort of thing.
100%. Yeah. But the one place where it does come in is that idea of confidentiality. You know, because there will be some things, and this isn't an authoritarian thing, but there will be some things that you know and that you're struggling with and dealing with as the pastor of a church or one of the pastors of a church that perhaps you can't share with somebody who is in the church and not in that same level of leadership in the church. And so at that point, maybe there will be some things that are you know, your deepest struggles that you're dealing with that you are unable to share with somebody. The exception to that rule obviously would be if you've got a team of elders, you know, and for me, at least the strongest friendships that I've built in my local church have been with those who have been raised up or were being raised up to be elders alongside.
Cause they would be peers in a sense.
Yeah. And then they become peers.
Yeah.
And I'm drawn to that type of person anyway. Yeah. So that's the most natural friendship I'm going to have. at which point that issue isn't a problem anymore.
Great questions, Mike. What else? What else you got?
I mean, on that, I would just say, yeah, agreed. And then there really has got to be, like, maybe even levels of accountability to make sure that you're not, let's say, promoting your friends,
giving
opportunities to them that you aren't giving to other people.
Right.
And like, we recently brought a new elder on board, and there was quite a like an interview process that we had with him. And then we spoke to him about like even some imagined situations, like what if your friend was doing this and this, like you know, your
hypothetical kind
we
of
have
stuff.
To make decisions as an elder board about the health of the church.
Yes.
And it can't just be around like but your buddies get a pass on X, Y, or Z. And so I think that we've had situations we've had where certain elders have like recused themselves from situations
because they couldn't be unbiased or something.
Yeah, they felt they couldn't be unbiased, or it's a relative of them. And so someone's been recused from this so that they're not influencing this to make sure that, you know, again, their friend gets better treatment or whatever. So
interesting stuff. Man, this is good.
It is. And there's complications. And I understand the temptation of just being like, fine, whatever. No friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my friends are it's the Calvary Chapel pastor in the next city over, and that's it.
Doesn't know anything about what's going on here.
Yeah.
He's my friend.
I've got one more thing, because I'm just thinking as we're talking about the potential listener who's sitting there thinking, I want friends.
I was thinking of that listener as well.
I don't have friends, and you're telling me that if I go out and just look for friends, I'm going to fail. And so I think, and maybe this is like overly simplistic and cliche, but I think a really simple like word for that person is, don't go out looking to find yourself a friend. Go out looking to be a friend, you know, because it kind of flips it, right? Where it's
simple, like, but profound. I mean, that's a real thing.
It's like any relationship, you know what I mean? Like where a Christian relationship is one of giving of yourself, mutually giving of yourself, therefore mutually benefiting one another. And in marriage, this is true, right? That how often do we deal with this in marriage counseling? You're so focused on your wife doing better and what she's doing wrong.
You're not focusing on what you're supposed to be doing.
Flip it. And if you're both focusing on that, then guess what? Things are going to be a heck of a lot better. And so I think that's probably a good, just really simple and practical thing, is like, seek how you can be a good friend to people who you look up to, people who you want to be influenced by, because your friends are inevitably going to influence you. You're going to become like one another. So identify people that you look up to, that you want to be like, and see how you can be a friend to them without being overly intrusive by serving them, loving them, and seeing what happens. And then don't force it, you know?
Have you seen that meme with, it's the Kermit meme where he's like sad looking out the window and it's raining? It says something like, when the pastor preaches a sermon about how you need to be nice to the person that's lonely and depressed, and then after the service, everybody comes and talks to you. This guy needs a friend.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. So, but I love that. That's a great word of, you know, what does the Bible say? If you would desire to have friends, you must show yourself to be friendly, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The King James translation says, he who desires friends must prove himself friendly.
Right, and there's a different...
Yeah, but then like every other translation says something different, completely different.
So, hey, King James.
Turns out...
King James.
Turns out they got it right. 1611.
1611 straight from heaven. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right, last question, Mike. What is it going to be? We're going to answer it.
Oh, dang. Tables have turned.
I think we've covered some pretty good stuff.
Okay, maybe, yeah. Can your wife be your best friend?
Oh, okay. Mm,
oh, that's a good last question.
All right.
I would say yes/no. Should I explain?
I would expect the answer should be yes.
Yes.
But I would also think, I'm thinking through it and I'm thinking there's got to be friendships that are different other than your wife that are on a deep level.
Could you just explain my yes/no?
He asked both of us.
Well, yeah. No, I'm saying that's good. Yeah, because here's the thing. I don't think there should be any relationship in your life that's more intimate than the relationship with your wife. And on every level, you know, obviously with physical intimacy, but then...
Thanks for clarifying.
But then
we should have quit while we were ahead, man. We had some good stuff here.
But then, but I think that's the same is true emotionally. And with just a friendship dynamic. Like if you're not friends with your wife, then you need to do some work in your marriage, you know? So that should be your most intimate relationship across the board. However, I think that there has to be, you can't look for 100% of your emotional intimacy or your friendship intimacy. You can get 100% of your physical intimacy from your wife, but you shouldn't look to her, or if you're a woman, to your husband for 100% of that, because that turns into an unsustainable relationship, because
your expectation is too high. You're looking for all of
your fulfillment from one another. Yeah. That's so good. So friendship is the healthiest thing for a marriage, if the husband and the wife both have deep, intimate friendships.
Guys, the episode that we never knew that we needed, but we've always wanted, or however that goes.
Yeah.
The episode on
if, you know, yeah, friends. Well, on that. Yeah, my wife, she's told me that that almost every woman that she knows wishes that her husband had more friends.
Wow.
Had more guy friends.
Yeah.
Because it puts so much pressure on on the wife.
That's interesting.
To be the spouse and the friend.
Yeah.
And so Rachel is thankful and glad that I have.
So a message to all those wives out there, when we want to go out with the boys, you know, and have a good time, let us go.
Yeah, you'll be sad if you don't.
Yeah. On that note,
oh man,
it's been great. Great having you guys. Did you want to say one more thing, Mike?
Guys, go plant a church with your friends.
Go plant the church with your friends. Amen. That's a great one. So thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. For more information on church planting or to get involved with the Cultivate program, visit cultivatechurchplanting.com. You can also find us on social media and YouTube at Cultivate Church Planting. We'll see you next time.